in this final section of the tour, we're going to start and end at the Royal Court Theatre in Sloane Square. Now, the last section of these musical tours I call the gallimaufry. Gallimaufry is an old French word, meaning stew. And into this stew, I'm going to throw as many ingredients as I can, as quickly as I can. I'm going to run round the neighbourhood, dragging as many musicians into the picture as I possibly can. I'm going to begin and end at the Royal Court Theatre. So welcome to the gallimaufry. The Royal Court Theatre, still going strong, was the site of a great revolution in the 1950s. The angry young men look back in anger. All these modern plays with political and sexual and social themes. A revolution in theatre. It's not really associated with music, the Royal Court, but we can find the Rocky Horror Show in premiere there in the 1970s. This was the poster for the Rocky Horror Show. Homemade. This is the famous poster from the movie, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but it had its origin at the Royal Court Theatre, the theatre upstairs. And you know, they're performing to single figure audiences. It really is a humble start for the Rocky Horror Show. Written by Richard O'Brien, inspired by the schlock horror movies of the 50s and 60s. Movies such as Dracula, written by Bram Stoker. And Bram Stoker lived in Cheney Walk. I told you we'd come back to Cheney Walk before we were done. Bram Stoker, the writer of Dracula. Musical reference in his novel. His famous line. I'll do my Dracula impression for this. The children of the night, what music they make. Thank you. Shall I do it one more time? The children of the night, what music they make. My favourite line. The movies of Bram Stoker's novel. Bram Stoker's novel is a terrific read, an epistolary novel, a multimedia novel. The movies that were made in the 50s here in this country were pretty lurid. I don't mean that as a criticism either. He lived on Cheney Walk and Dracula came to Chelsea in the 1970s. Dracula came to swinging London in Dracula AD 1972. Oh, lurid stuff. Really terrific. It's Dracula in swinging London is the idea. The central character is a sinister hipster called Johnny Alucard. And he is prowling the King's Road. But hang on, Alucard, that rings a bell. That's Dracula backwards. My goodness me, I hardly saw that one coming. It really is broad brushstroke stuff. Christopher Lee performs, I hope I've got this right, for the sixth time as Dracula in the movies. And Christopher Lee is on your, I'll pop him on your playlist, because later in his life, Christopher Lee recorded a number of heavy metal numbers. Extraordinary stuff. One of his ambitions as a young man was to be an opera singer. The band that performed in the movie Dracula AD 1972 were called Stoneground. A sort of funk band. It was a subgenre at the time called blaxploitation. It's sort of, you know, black funk music played by white bands was the idea. We probably call it cultural appropriation today. Not a bad band, Stoneground, quite funky. They're on the soundtrack of Dracula AD 1972. I'll pop them on your playlist. They were not the first choice. The first choice for the band, the Faces, with Dame Rod Stewart. There's Dame Rod Stewart, front and centre. He was their lead singer. They took cold feet at the last minute about doing a vampire movie, and so Stoneground came in. This fellow here, in the picture in the Faces, well, there he is, more recently, Ronnie Wood, suspiciously black-haired Ronnie, suspiciously black-haired geezer. Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones, one of the most popular chaps in rock and roll. Everybody loves Ronnie. He lived on Cheney Walk. It's nice work if you can get it, the rock and roll business. You can buy a nice big house on Cheney Walk. The association with Lionel Bart and the Rolling Stones is quite a surprising one. The Rolling Stones, for a brief period, were managed by Lionel Bart, the composer of Oliver, and a Chelsea man. He's from the East End of London, Lionel Bart, of course, but his famous musical Oliver allowed him to be socially mobile, and he bought a house in Chelsea. He was, for a period, the Rolling Stones manager, believe it or not, because at that point in their career, the Rolling Stones and their actual manager, Andrew Lou Golden, were too young to sign contracts. They were below the age of 21. And so Lionel Bart signed the contracts for them and was their de facto manager for a period. He lived here in Seymour Walk in Chelsea, in a house that was nicknamed the Fun Palace. The Fun Palace. His most famous piece remains Oliver. Many of us still think it to be the greatest British stage musical of them all. His sleeping partner, of course, was Charles Dickens. I wonder if Bart knew this, that just round the corner, the church just round the corner from Seymour Walk, is where Dickens was married. Dickens was married here in 1836 to Catherine, and then wrote Oliver the year after. Just round the corner from the Fun Palace. The Fun Palace, famously, had bowls at the door, two bowls. One for use on the way in and another for use on the way out. The bowl for use on the way in was full of cocaine, so you could do a line and enjoy the party. And on the way out, the other bowl was full of money, so you could grab a couple of quid and buy it, get yourself a taxi home. Lionel Bart's famous quote, "It's only money, it's only money," he said, you know, spent most of his life penniless for his extravagance, Lionel Bart, including the gold throne design for his toilet at the Fun Palace, which played when flushed, we are told, Handel's Water Music. Well done, Lionel. Headline still on Slow News Days. The story is trotted out. Bowls of cocaine in the Fun Palace. This is the Daily Mail here. And there's Lionel Bart there, great composer, next to John Lennon. John Lennon was one of the regular guests at the Fun Palace in Chelsea. He's no stranger to Chelsea, Lennon. The Beatles shot their famous Sgt. Pepper sleeve in Flood Street in Chelsea. Michael Cooper was the photographer at Chelsea Manor Studios, which are still there. Part studio, part residential, just down here in Flood Walk. There we go. Flood Street, that's where the studio can be found, right there. The design concept is overseen by Peter Blake, the pop artist. Here he is in his 1961 self-portrait with badges. Peter Blake, pop artist and big fan of Chelsea Football Club, famously so. And here are Chelsea Football Club here in their 1970-71 incarnation. They made a record. Blue is the colour, football is the game. We're all together and winning is our aim. It's not a pop classic. It was a thing in the early 70s to make a pop song to go with your cup final appearance. And Chelsea did this one. Chelsea, for a long time, were not a successful football club. In fact, in the annals of Music Hall, they became something of a joke. As you can see, this Music Hall number here by Norman Long, on the day that Chelsea went and won the cup, is what it's called. Chelsea were a byword for failure for years and years, so much so that this Music Hall song, which I've popped on your playlist, is a byword for failure. Saying the day that Chelsea went and won the cup is like saying when hell freezes over. Next week, in fact, in 2 weeks' time on the East End tour, we'll be looking at West Ham and their famous football song. The owner of Chelsea Football Club is Roman Abramovich. He lives on Cheney Walk, at least he has property there. The famous Russian oligarch, Chelsea are no longer a byword for failure. A very wealthy club. He lived on Cheney Walk, as did Ray Vaughan Williams. Let's have a heated debate. Is he the greatest of all English composers? Is he 20th century composer? Studied at the Royal College of Music in Kensington. We talked about that last week. Or which was recently, this week, listed as the number one arts school, the number one conservatoire in Europe. There we go. Well done to the Royal College of Music. Hubert Parry was his teacher there, the composer of Jerusalem. Vaughan Williams himself, famous for his Fantasia on a theme of Thomas Tallis. Great English composer. He loved to reach back into English history and bring up music from Tallis, the great Tudor composer. He would work, as was the practice of the time as well, on collecting traditional English folk melodies and infusing his work with English music, which really takes English music off in a different direction, because Parry and his generation had been so influenced by the Germans, Brahms and so forth. Vaughan Williams takes music off in a different direction in England. Now, he lived on Cheney Walk in this property here, which has been replaced by this property here in the 1970s. Not too bad a fake from the 1970s here. This is where Vaughan Williams wrote part of his London Symphony, which I've also put on your playlist. It's a terrific piece of music. Listen out for the motifs of London. Listen out for the chimes of Big Ben. Listen out for a musical representation of Hampstead Heath and also Sunset on the River Thames, River Thames by Night, the Thames Embankment by Night. Wonderful musical impressions in the London Symphony by Ralph Vaughan Williams. I've also put a link to some wonderful listening notes in BBC Music Magazine's website on your playlist. He's mentioned in the play Look Back in Anger in 1956, written by John Osborne. The angry young man, Jimmy Porter, says, "Just another Sunday evening, perhaps there's a concert on. Ah, make some more tea. Oh yes, there's a Vaughan Williams. Well, that's something anyway," he says. "Something strong, something simple, something English." This famous play, Look Back in Anger, was staged in 1956 as part of the theatrical revolution of the angry young men at the Royal Court Theatre. We're back to where we started. This is the end of our Gallimaufry, and indeed the end of this evening's tour.